Cape Talk. Improve your life.
It's 34 minutes past 1 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, my name is Melanie Rice. I'm standing in for Pippa Hudson while she's on holiday until the end of next week. And in today's Improve Your Life, how to transform a space on a Saturday or a Sunday. Vicky Sleet is a makeover guru. She's the blogger behind iwantthat.co.za. She also writes for Good Housekeeping. She is the lifestyle editor there. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Melanie. Lovely to be on the show.
Right. It's Saturday morning. You get a bee in your bonnet and you want to spruce up your house, but on a small budget. What can you do?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, the first thing I would suggest is go to Pinterest, because I don't know about you, Mel, but I have got a Pinterest board filled with all the ideas that I would like to do when and if I have a chance. So that's kind of my to-do list. But the kind of things that you can do on a Saturday morning that's not going to eat into your, or a Sunday morning, that's not going to eat into your entire weekend, you could create a cork wall where you glue a whole lot of cork tiles onto a wall, which you can use as a pin board. You can reorganize all your displays and collectibles. You can upcycle pillow slips with fabric paint or stamps. You can even turn those checkers collectibles that everyone's collecting at the moment into magnets for your fridge. Sort your cupboards using console jars, get your pantry into ship-shape order, and, yeah, make a magnetic pencil holder using a recycled tin to stick onto your fridge.
The problem with Pinterest is I always look at it and then I imagine what my version is going to look like.
Yeah, Pinterest fails. That's a whole nother show in itself. But you know what, Mel? There is stuff that you can do that's not too terrifying. And at Good Housekeeping, that's a big thing that we're into, is stuff that's easy and achievable. So not too scary, that doesn't really involve drills or anything that's, you know, too DIY. We like things that are easy, doable, and that look great at the end.
Where are some of the best places to find supplies?
Well, personally, because I'm a bit strapped for time, got a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old in tow, we tend to hit Builders Warehouse every Saturday morning. My 3-year-old actually calls it the popcorn shop because they serve popcorn on a Saturday. And it's because they've got everything, certainly the one we go to in Tekai, it's got everything from plants to pot plant holders to light bulbs to painter's tape to all the paints you need. For us, it really is a one-stop shop. My husband's happy. He's buying every single power tool that you can find. He's always finding an excuse to buy a new one. So, yeah, I hate to Builders, but generally any hardware store.
And would Builders have things like console jars and cork?
Cork tiles, you can definitely buy at Builders. You can buy them in packs of 10. Console jars, I'm not so sure, but you can certainly buy other jars there. And things like console jars you can get at Mumbo's, Merry Pack, or you can go to the console shop in Stellenbosch.
I started buying old furniture on places like Gumtree and Bric-a-Brac, and now it's sitting in my house. I have no idea what to do with it.
Yes, it is a bit of a black hole, Gumtree. You can get lost in there. My husband likes to type up desperate sale. That's his favorite hobby. But
what can you do with an old piece of furniture?
You could repaint it. If you've got a rimpy stool, you can restring it. You can dolly up an old cabinet with wallpaper. You can even saw a whole table in half and repurpose it by bolting it to the wall if you've got a tiny passageway. There are so many things that you can do with furniture, and yeah, it gets a little bit addictive once you start.
So you mentioned rimpy chairs. I've got a whole lot from my grandmother. How do you do that?
Okay, so with rimpy chairs, you can actually go the old school traditionalist way, which purists obviously will follow. So if they're antique rimpy chairs, I would take them to a specialist who will do them with the proper twine, which, yeah, if you want to respect the antiqueness of it. But, you know, there's a lot of Oregon pine out there. There's a lot of other rimpy furniture. And I love what people are doing now in a contemporary way. So there's a supplier in Hoad Street in town called CD Fox. And they sell the most incredible color nylon thread. But I'm talking Lumo colors, every single bright color you've ever seen. And if you're not so into color, you can still go classic black and white.
Because that color thing is very much a trend at the moment.
It's so hot, and it's so easy to do. I mean, it literally took, we did a bench a couple of months ago. It took us about an hour to do the whole thing. You just thread it like you would, you're threading a loom, basically. So you thread everything one way, tie it at the end, burn off the end, obviously because it's nylon, so you have to burn it, and then you do it the other way. And the nice thing is you don't have to go wild with the color. So you can have a white base or a black base, and then do a few lines in the color. It looks fantastic.
Let me just remind listeners, we are talking to good housekeeping lifestyle editor Vicky Sleet about how to spruce up your house on a small budget. If you have questions for Vicky, please give us a call, 021-446-0567, or send a WhatsApp voice note or message to 072-567-1567. You can also, we'll be posting the podcast of this interview a little bit later with some of her tips, and obviously about how to do that rimpy chair. But I'd also love to hear from you about whether you've tried a Saturday makeover and how it turned out. As we were talking about, Pinterest fails. They are out there. Maybe you painted a statement wall or you started a herb garden. I'd love to hear about it. And how long did it take you to transform it? Did it fit in with the time that you thought it would be? And did it cost what you thought it was going to cost? Give us a call, 021-446-0567 or 072-567-1567. Vix, there's a message coming through just saying, I only have 500 rand. Where can I use it best?
I am obsessed with paint. Paint for me is just, I think it's one of the most amazing ways to transform something. Whether it's a piece of furniture that was wooden and now you've transformed it into a bright and beautiful statement piece in your home. Whether it is a wall in your bedroom, your bedroom's feeling a bit blah. Oh, let me just paint that wall. One color. Beautiful, beautiful, bright pop of color. The other thing that I think is fantastic if you are on a budget is, which people don't often think about, is you can buy sample pots of paint. They're less than 100 rand a pot. You get about 500 mils of paint. I could be wrong, it might be a little bit less. But it's enough to do something with. So whether you are tapping into that dipping your furniture trend where you tape off the legs of your chairs and you just paint those a color. Those sample pots can go a long way. You can use them to upcycle planters, for example. And they're very useful.
How do you do the dipping?
Okay, so the dipping is very easy. You obviously need something with legs. So chairs, tables, little cabinets and what have you. And it's just a cheeky little pop of color that we're going to be doing. So it's nice if you don't want to commit to something too scary of a change, or if you just actually want to respect the beautiful wood that's underlying. So what you need is painter's tape. And I don't like to use the white masking tape because if you're painting lines or stripes, it often leaks underneath. So there's a specific blue painter's tape which you can get, and all the painter's stores around the country know about it. And that's the one where paint doesn't bleed. And all you do is you just tape off the section below which you want to paint, and then you just set to work. You do need to use a primer. And I would suggest keying the surface a little bit beforehand, and by that I mean just using a light sandpaper just to.
And if you go into major paint stores or hardware stores, and if you haven't painted before, there is a lot of advice.
Those guys they know their stuff. They are brilliant. There are a couple of shortcuts that you can take. So one of the shortcuts I like to take when I paint is that you can buy primer as a spray paint. It's so easy.
So how does that work?
It's primer paint, but it comes in a spray paint tin. So you spray your furniture with the primer and you let that dry, and then you're going to paint on top of that with your paint. And it just gives, you need to generally prime wooden furniture before you paint.
Well, there's a question from Corinne saying, what kind of paint would you use to paint old wooden furniture, especially when it has a wax surface? Do you need to sand the furniture first?
Yeah. So you need to get rid of that wax because the paint needs a surface to bind to. So you need to get rid of your wax first. Then you're going to prime it using the spray paint, or you can use a hand-painted primer, and then you can set to work. So once your primer's nice and dry, you can set to work with either high-gloss enamel, which I love with bright colors. So if you're going to go bright turquoise, bright yellow, it looks amazing with a high-gloss enamel. What's very on-trend at the moment is a satin finish. So if you are going for a monochromatic look and you want to paint little wooden pedestals or whatever it is in black, a satin finish looks so sophisticated and so professional. The big thing with painting furniture is if you want that seamless look, you need to use the foam rollers, or even better, if you can find them, is mohair mini rollers.
Mohair mini rollers.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're a little bit pricier, but the finish is phenomenal.
I was about to say mohair.
Yeah. the finish really is, it really is phenomenal.
So it's worth spending that money.
It is.
Amy Lee says, good idea on using paint. I want to do a statement wall. Where to begin and what's the biggest mistake that people make?
Okay, statement walls or gallery walls, as people like to call them.
I see them all the time in my friends' houses, and they look fantastic if you do them right.
They really can look fantastic, and Pinterest is also full of them. The big thing with gallery walls is Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to have all your pictures at once, and you need to leave yourself some space to build on it, unless you feel you have your collection ready. Okay. So let's work on the premise that you've got your collection ready. So the first thing you need is a big enough wall. And you could also split your collection if you don't have a big enough wall. It looks amazing in entrance halls. A gallery wall really is a wonderful way to make a statement feature in any room. So what we like to do is, we actually made one at home using a whole gallery of ocean pictures, is laid out on the floor, measure that area. So ours, for example, was a square. So we measured the square off, and then we marked that up on the wall. Then we measured the distance between each picture, and we decided on 3 centimeters between each. And then we took a photograph on our phones, and we started that way. So the big thing is to make it equidistant so that it actually, it looks like a curator has hung it properly. You do get professional hanging services, but it really is quite fun trying to figure it out by yourself. Some people
like
use
putting
graph
together
paper.
A puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. Some people use graph paper, and they actually plot it on a graph paper, but I found that doing it on the floor, taking the photograph so you know where everything was, and then starting from the top left, working across, and you work across in rows.
Okay, and what's the difference between a collage and a gallery wall?
So, a collage, I mean, I'm sure you remember when we were at school how we used to love...
Oh, it's big in the 80s and 90s, a collage.
Huge in the 80s. Yeah. But it's coming back again, and it's coming back in such a lovely way that people are creating the gallery walls, but they may have some 3D things that they love. So maybe it was a mask that they love, that they can place amongst the pictures. And the key to this is to find a common thread. So say you bought a beautiful mask in Venice, and there's a, you know, it's red and what have you. Now you need to remember that you're going to need a touch of red somewhere else so that things hang together. The beauty about doing these jobs nowadays is that you're the curator. So the story needs to make sense to you. But it also needs to make visual sense as well, so that you've got some, whether it's everything, all the frames match, whether you've got that thread, for example, of the red popping in different spots on your gallery wall.
I've got on my wall, I've got like a wooden cutout of the African continent that I can put in the middle. And when you mix things up, it makes it very interesting.
Yeah, totally. And just those little tiny threads and pops that think, oh, of course, that's why she's got the map there. And that was a photograph she took when she went on holiday. And, you know, it's just, when it starts to make sense to other people, even though it already makes sense to you, then you're halfway there.
Will you get into trouble if you try and copy something that's on maybe Pinterest or, you know, one of those places? It's
for your
really
own
gotta
home.
Be a
No ways. I think Pinterest is like the Encyclopedia Britannica for all of us visually. Yeah, no, definitely. I think go for it. I mean, so long as you're not trying to copyright something and sell it on.
Yeah.
Or sell it on and pretend that it's your design or what have you. No, I think Pinterest is the place to go for sure.
And then in terms of paint color, because I recently painted my house and it used to have like a yellow undertone, which apparently was big 10 years ago. And now it's all about gray. So what are some of the trends in paint color?
So as you say, gray is the new neutral. It is such an amazing color to use in the home, but it can also be tricky. So sometimes you can get gray and I've discovered this because we painted our last home gray, and my husband came home and said, why have you painted it purple? Sometimes you can have a bit of a purple undertone. Sometimes it can have a bit of a green undertone. So it really, you have to, and I really urge people to paint those samples onto their walls and see how it looks in sunlight and see how it looks at dusk. For some reason, dusk seems to change color enormously, but gray is huge.
And the difference in the times of day was remarkable.
It's crazy. Yeah, so especially if you have rooms that are north facing, and if say you have a room at the back of the house that isn't, you can actually ask the paint department to change the saturation of the same color. So you know that you've got the same color, but you're going to go a lighter saturation in the sunnier rooms and a darker saturation in the... Sorry, the other way around. Darker saturation in the sunnier rooms and lighter in the darker rooms, but still know that the tone is the same throughout your home.
Does it cost extra for that saturation?
No.
Okay.
It shouldn't do, actually. I stand to be corrected. It might do if it's a bit of a darker saturation, because the darker colors do cost a little bit more.
We're talking Saturday makeovers, what you can do with one trip to the hardware store on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. We're chatting to Vicky Sleet, the lifestyle editor at Good Housekeeping. She's also the blogger behind iwantthat.co.za. If you have any questions for Vicky, she is, as I said earlier, a makeover guru. Give us a call, 021-446-0567, or send us a WhatsApp message or WhatsApp voice note on 0725671567. Chatting about makeovers, what about outside, Vix? What about something you could do in the morning or the afternoon to spruce up your garden?
So I kind of live in hope that one day my black thumb will turn into green fingers, because I tend to kill anything in the garden. But I've had moderate success, I won't say great success, with some of my gardening ventures, and most of those are potted. In fact, they're all potted ventures, because they can be controlled a little bit better. Yeah. So for a morning job to do, herb gardens, fabulous, easy to do, and succulents, so on trend, so water-wise, we love them.
What are some of the hardier herbs?
Some of the hardy herbs will
kill things off as well very easily. I know,
it's so tricky. Well, at this time of year, there's not a lot. So what does well is parsley at this time of year, and thank goodness it is very hot, it does well. Thyme is great, fabulous if you're making casseroles and winter stews, and coriander. Coriander's great as well. What I'm dying to do, which I've got saved on my to-do list of something I'd love to do, is a herb tower. And by that I mean a whole lot of terracotta pots, and you plant the bottom one is the biggest one. You plant that up with soil, then you put a smaller one, smaller one, smaller one, and you've got a pot of five. And then you can pop that onto a kitchen counter.
Beautiful.
You can have it on your balcony. You can even have it as a centerpiece on a balcony table. And it's fairly contained, so your room for error, I hope, is smaller.
Karen in the Strand has a question about painting a room. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good,
hi,
and you?
Hi, Karen.
Good. Hi there. I moved down to the Strand and the whole house was just white. So I repainted, and I painted the roof grey, and then the walls, outside walls grey, and then
that's
I used
lovely
beiges, different variety of beiges in the family room, which is get made it nice and bright. And then I went a completely different color, which I wouldn't have gone through, which was the Wedgwood green.
Yes, lovely.
And I promise you, that room, my bedroom and the other bedroom, is so tranquil. It's the most incredible feeling.
You know, it's so funny. I was talking to my husband about this green thing last week. We've recently moved from where we had a view with the sea, and now our view is all green. And I said to him, I feel so much less anxious.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, it's amazing. And then I actually said to him, is that then I suddenly remembered that they used to paint hospitals green. The walls in hospitals used to be green because it chills you out.
Oh, yes.
Green is a wonderful color to bring into the home, whether it's in plants or in paint or even in your soft finishings.
Yeah.
It sounds stunning.
Yeah, no, it is stunning. And, I mean, when I moved in here, the garden was non-existent. It was just sand. And I created the whole garden, and I bought instant lawn. And it's amazingly full of plants, and thank goodness, even with the drought, I water my plants with my bathroom
water. Good for you. Water-wise.
It's a bit heavy carrying these blooming buckets out, and it's a pain in the bum, but I love my garden, and I've got two ducks, and I've got a fluffy chicken.
Oh, wow.
I've got a
good for you. Green is good for you, isn't it?
Green in the garden. Karen,
I love it. I love my garden.
Karen, thanks so much for the call. Well, talking about gardens, Vix, let's talk about those planters. How do you upcycle them?
Okay, so back to paint. That blue tape that I mentioned earlier, the blue tape that you can get at any paint hardware store, that's going to be if you want to paint, do some color blocking. So I'm a fan of terracotta pots. I love them, and I love the cement pots that you can find. They're not always easy to find, but if I do ever spot one, I buy one immediately because they're nicely priced and it's easy to upcycle them. So you're going to take your blue painter tape and mark off the area that you that you want to paint and just paint away. I quite like not using a primer because I quite like seeing the paint seep in and have a little bit of a wash, so it's not too, there isn't too much of a stark difference between your original surface area like the terracotta or the cement and the paint. And this is a great way to use up leftover paint as well and those paint samples. I must say, I find paint sample tins one of the most creative ways to play around in the house because I know that I'm not spending a fortune and I can use them on different projects.
Let's talk briefly about fabric. If you want to spruce things up with maybe reupholstering or a pillow or, you know.
Okay, so Saturday morning project reupholstery, probably not going to work unless you do some dining room seats. So that's quite easy. You can buy a heavy or hire a heavy staple gun from Hire It. Very easy to get hold of. And fabric, so all you need to do is just pop up out those seats if you have upholstered seats and tightly wrap your fabric around the seat and staple it in. That will take you quick sticks. And also a really good way to use up fabric scraps. I don't know about you, Melanie, but every time I see fabric sale, I'm the first in line buying up fabric. I never know what I'm going to do with it. So
I didn't even know it existed, and I went to one, and it was like Black Friday.
No, it's addictive. It's so addictive. And
really good prices. So,
really good prices. Yeah. No,
keep
they
an
are.
Eye out. Where can people keep an eye out for those kind of sales?
Well, as much as I know people don't like to sign up to too much stuff on Facebook, it really is useful. If you can get to the Hertex sale twice a year, oh my goodness, it's brilliant. Lula Fabrics as well. Sign up to their Facebook pages, and that's, yeah. Also, if you sign up on their websites, and you get their newsletters about their sales, and it can be annoying, but if that's your thing and you're wanting the bargains, then I highly recommend it.
Vicky Sleet, Lifestyle Editor of Good Housekeeping, thank you so much. You've given
thank
me a
you,
lot
Melanie,
to think about.
Thank you, Melanie, for having me on the show. And, yeah, good luck to everyone who's trying anything this Saturday.
Thanks, Vix. Well, I'm a big fan of your blog. The blog is iwantthat.co.za. Vicky does put up a lot of great ideas there every week. I know she's just bought a house, and it's been amazing to follow what she's created in different spaces in her house. So you can do that too. iwantthat.co.za. And then people can also follow her advice in Good Housekeeping. She's the assistant and lifestyle editor at Good Housekeeping.